The scripture reading this morning is taken from Acts chapter 8, beginning to read with verse 26. Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. Listen to the word of the Lord. Now an angel of the Lord said to Philip, "Rise and go toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza. This is a desert place." And he rose and went. And there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, a court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasure. He had come to Jerusalem to worship and was returning, seated in his chariot, and he was reading the prophet Isaiah. And the Spirit said to Philip, "Go over and join this chariot." So Philip ran to him and heard him reading Isaiah the prophet and asked, "Do you understand what you are reading?" And he said, "How can I unless someone guides me?" And he invited Philip to come up and sit with him. Now the passage of the scripture that he was reading was this: "Like a sheep he was led to the slaughter, and like a lamb before his shearers is silent, so he opened not his mouth. In his humiliation, justice was denied him. Who can describe his generation? For his life is taken away from the earth." And the eunuch said to Philip, "About whom, I ask you, does the prophet say this? About himself or about someone else?" Then Philip opened his mouth, and beginning with this scripture, he told him the good news about Jesus. And as they were going along the road, they came to some water. And the eunuch said, "See, here is water. What prevents me from being baptized?" And he commanded the chariot to stop, and they both went down into the water, Philip and the eunuch, and he baptized him. And when they came up out of the water, the Spirit of the Lord carried Philip away, and the eunuch saw him no more and went on his way rejoicing. But Philip found himself in Azotus, and as he passed through, he preached the gospel in all the towns until he came to Caesarea. So far, the reading of the word of the Lord. Before we open this very interesting passage, let us seek his guidance in prayer. Our gracious Father in heaven, we pray that the words of our mouth and the meditation of our heart may be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Bless this word unto our hearts, dear Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. Dear friends in Christ, to brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, this was an amazing story. Here's a man from Ethiopia. He's a black man, but he's also a eunuch. And according to the scriptures, he was not allowed to be in the temple. He had to be in the court of the Gentiles because he was not a Jew. But he comes to Jerusalem because he's seeking. He is seeking what he didn't have. And that is, he didn't have salvation. He was seeking what the Jewish people had, what the Hebrews had, and he knew they had something. We don't know how he found that out. Maybe it was through the witness of the Queen of Sheba. We know that she came up to see the splendor of Solomon during Solomon's time, and went back, of course, to Ethiopia. And she had said to Solomon, "The half hadn't been told me." And so she comes to understand something of the, not only of the material splendor of Solomon, but also of his wisdom, and no doubt about his God. I mean, that is only the natural thing that she heard about the God of Solomon too. And no doubt she shared that with the people of her empire. She was the queen of Sheba from Ethiopia. And so no doubt this man heard about that too. And so he comes to Jerusalem. He is seeking. He is seeking and he's going to the right place, because Jerusalem is the place where the Lord has revealed himself. He has given his word to the people of Israel. They were blessed among all the other peoples of the world, because to them the Lord had revealed himself. He revealed himself to Abraham, who was the father of the Hebrews, father of, and the Lord said to Abraham, "Of your seed the whole world will be blessed." And so this is one of the fruits of God's blessing to Abraham, that the gospel, that the Ethiopian eunuch heard about, that there was a message, there was hope, there was good news in Israel. So he comes to Israel. He comes to Jerusalem seeking. He's seeking something. And Philip, who is one of the seven deacons who had been appointed by the Lord, by the people, by the church, Philip was one. Stephen was one. We just saw how he was murdered. And Philip is one of them who goes into Samaria. And he's very successful in Samaria. In fact, many people came to believe in the Lord through the ministry of Philip. In fact, when Peter and John, who were stayed in Jerusalem, when there was a scattering of the people because of persecution, they hear about what's going on in Samaria, and they come to Samaria, and they are also very impressed by the response of the people to the work of Philip and his ministry there in Samaria. But the angel of the Lord says to Philip, "I want you to leave." The angel of the Lord says to Philip, "Arise and go now toward the south to the road that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza." This is a desert place. So Philip, who was in a thriving ministry in Samaria, the Lord says, "Now you have to leave. You have to go to the desert. You have to go to the place where there is a need for you." And so Philip rises and goes, and there was an Ethiopian, a eunuch, of the court official of Candace, queen of the Ethiopians, who was in charge of all her treasury. And he is a eunuch. He had a surgery because that was the only way in which he could be in the queen's service. But he had the book of Isaiah. And the book of Isaiah says something about eunuchs. In Isaiah 56, and he's reading from Isaiah 53, so no doubt he also saw in the book of Isaiah reference to a eunuch. And this is what the Lord says in Isaiah 56. "For thus says the Lord, to the eunuchs who keep my Sabbath, who choose the things that please me and hold fast my covenant, I will give in my house and within my walls a monument and a name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off." One of the burdens of a eunuch was that they would never have a son or a daughter. They would never have a name. They would never have a family. A family was denied them because of the surgery that they had. And here he reads in the book of Isaiah, there's hope for a eunuch. There's certainly no hope for a eunuch in paganism. There's certainly no hope for a eunuch in the world. In fact, the Bible says, the Lord will surely separate me from his people, and let not the eunuch say, behold, I am a dry tree. That's what Isaiah says. The eunuch, you don't have to say that you're a dry tree. Even though you've been denied a family by what you've gone through. And you went through that so that you could serve the queen of the Ethiopians. And so there's hope for a eunuch in the house of God. There's hope for a eunuch to have sons and daughters. Now, this is not natural sons and daughters. To the eunuch who keeps my Sabbath, who chooseth things that please me and hold fast to my covenant, I will give in my house and in my walls a monument and in my name better than sons and daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. And so he reads that. We're not told he reads it, but it's in the context of what he was reading. And no doubt, anything that is about a eunuch stood out to him. And here it is. There's hope. There's hope in the plan of God for one like him. And so he is seeking. He knows that there's love for God. There's the love of God for a eunuch. He knows that from what he read, but he doesn't know how. How can the Lord love me? How is it possible? And so he's reading in the book of Isaiah about someone who's like a sheep before its a slaughter, and he's silent as he's being sheared. He opens not his mouth in humiliation. Justice was denied him. Now, who is this, says the Ethiopian? Who is this? Is the prophet talking about himself, or is he talking about someone else? Now, you can understand this question. The Ethiopian really doesn't understand the Scripture. He's got the Scripture, and that's a wonderful blessing that he's got that. And he's going to take that all the way to Ethiopia. The Word. And what a blessing that is. A man from Nigeria called me yesterday. He lives in Los Angeles now. And he's a friend of me, of Lori and me. His name is Shem Ramon Yakobu. And Shem Ramon, his baptized name is Joshua. And he called me yesterday to tell me that the newly revised translation of the Bible into the Tiv language, the Tiv tribe is in northern Nigeria. He's been working on a revised translation of the Bible into the Tiv language, and he just got back from Nigeria where the Bible, the newly revised translation of the Bible in that language was dedicated. It was dedicated in Nigeria with great pomp and great joy. And he said, I just want you to know what a great joy it was to get the whole Bible in our language updated so that the people can read it and that they can share it with their family and that they can share it with everyone. And so he's so excited about it. And I thought of this of this Ethiopian. He's from Africa too. And he's got the Bible with him. But he doesn't understand it. He knows that the Bible has got a message of hope and a message of joy and a message of happiness to a man like him, but he doesn't understand how that is. He can't put it together. And so he's wondering, how can I understand this unless someone explains it to me? Unless someone opens up my eyes and my understanding to see how it's possible that God can love me, that He loves me, that He's got a place for a man like me is clear, better than sons and daughters. But how that is all possible, I don't get it. I don't get it. How can I understand it unless someone explains it to me? And so the Holy Spirit takes Philip away from Samaria and says, now you go to the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza. It's the desert. Is that a good place for a mission? Not really. There's nobody that lives in a desert. But Philip goes. He's obedient to the call of the Lord. And he goes to the road that goes from Jerusalem to Gaza through the desert. And there he sees a chariot. And maybe it's more than one chariot. We don't know, but we do know he's a very important official in the government of the queen of the Ethiopians. And so he is running along the chariot, mind you. I mean, that's what it says. The chariot is going, I mean, at a pretty good pace. And Philip is keeping up with it. And he hears the man in the chariot reading. And he asks the question, and then the chariot stops. And he says to Philip, come on up and help me. How can I understand unless someone explains it to me? So Philip gets into the chariot. What a sight. Here's this Jewish deacon, Philip. He's sitting in a chariot with a black man. But the black man is a seeker of the Lord. And for the Lord, there is no black or white or red or yellow. There is no distinction between Jew or Gentile, between slave or free, between male or female. All are one in Christ. And so the Ethiopian says to Philip, come on up. And so they're sitting together. And he's reading from the book of Isaiah. Now you know how that chapter 53 of Isaiah goes. Who shall believe our report, and to whom shall the arm of the Lord be revealed? He shall go before him. You know how that goes in Isaiah. He is led like a lamb to the slaughter, as a sheep before its shears is dumb, so he opened not his mouth. He is wounded for our transgressions. He's bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace is upon him, and by his stripes we are healed. Now, says the Ethiopian, who is the prophet talking about here? Is he talking about himself? Or is he talking about someone else? Now, that's a very good question. That's a very good question. Who is the prophet talking about? Well, you and I know the whole Scripture. We know the Old and the New Testament, and we know that the prophet Isaiah is talking about the Messiah. He's talking about Jesus. He had said, Isaiah said in Isaiah 7, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel. That's in Isaiah 7. And then a little bit later in Isaiah, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and of peace there will be no end." We know that that is no one other than Jesus Christ. But the Ethiopian doesn't get it yet. He doesn't understand that Isaiah is talking about Jesus. And so from that scripture, Philip begins to open up the Word of God to him about Jesus Christ. This is what preaching always has to do. The preacher has to bring from the Word of God the story of Jesus Christ. You recall how Jesus on the day of resurrection was joined the wayfarers to Emmaus. And they were sad. They were so down. And the Lord Jesus says, "What's wrong? Why are you so depressed?" And they said, "Don't you know what happened?" Jesus said, "What happened?" They said, "It was about Jesus. And we had hoped that he would be the one to redeem Israel. But our leaders crucified him. And now it's the third day. And some have said that they saw him alive, but we haven't seen him." And Jesus said, "Oh, slow of heart and foolish men, that you don't understand the scriptures." And so beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus Christ, oh, how that would have been wonderful to be there and hear Jesus open up the Word about himself. Beginning with Moses and all the prophets, Jesus explained the scriptures, how that the Christ had to suffer and then enter into his glory. Oh, they said, "Did not our heart burn within us as he opened to us the scriptures and the way?" That's what happened to this Ethiopian. His heart burned as he heard the story of Jesus Christ. This explains how that God could love a eunuch, a dry tree, and say, "I will give you a name. I will give you better than sons and daughters. I will give you hope. I will give you a place in my kingdom." How is that possible? Because Jesus took your place. Jesus Christ came the just for the unjust, that he might bring us to God. Jesus Christ is the Lamb who was led to the slaughter. Jesus Christ is the Lamb upon whom the sin of the world was placed. Isaiah says in Isaiah 53 verse 6, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way." Philip probably said, "That's exactly what happened to you and me and all people. We have all gone our own way. We've lost our way. But the Lord our God took our sin. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, but the Lord laid our iniquities upon his Son." Upon his Son, who is the Lamb before the slaughter, who is the Lamb silent before its shearers, who is the Lamb who was denied justice. Pilate denied him justice. They all cried out, "Crucify him, crucify him." He was denied justice. He was hung on a cross. He was forsaken of God. He was forsaken of men because he loved you. He loved you so much that he gave his life for you. That's why for a eunuch, a dry tree who has no hope for a family, the Lord is going to give you much better than sons or daughters. He's going to give you a name. He's going to give you a heritage. He is going to give you salvation. And no doubt Philip introduced him to the idea of baptism and said, Jesus, before he went into heaven, said, go into all the world. The gospel is not only for Jewish people. It's not only for good people. It's for the world. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's for people in Albania. It's for people in Russia. It's for people in South America, North America, China, India, all over the world. The gospel is for everyone. He gave his life as an atonement for our sin. And Jesus said, go into all the world, preach the gospel to everybody, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, and I'll be with you always. And so they're going along the road, and there's not a lot of water in the desert. That's why it's a desert. But here they come to a place where there's some water. And the Ethiopian says to Philip, look, here's some water. What hinders me from being baptized? And so they stop the chariot, get down into the water, and Philip baptizes him in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit in obedience to Jesus Christ. This black man becomes a member of the covenant family, the covenant community. He becomes a member of the church. And just that soon, the angel of the Lord or the Holy Spirit takes Philip away. And the Ethiopian doesn't go after him, doesn't go back to Jerusalem to seek and find Philip. No. He does not. He goes on his way rejoicing. He goes to Ethiopia. And do you know what? He is so filled with the Spirit. He is so filled with joy. Life has become new to him. There's a hope. There's a purpose for his life. He has been given the gospel and he has accepted it. Oh, what a joy in that man's heart. The blinders are off his eyes. He understands, he sees, he believes, and he's going on his way rejoicing. Because now he knows who it is that is going to give him what is better than sons and daughters. He's going to give him a heritage. He's going to give him a name. He's going to give him eternal life. You know, this is for you and me too. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There is no distinction, for all have sinned. All have sinned. And all have come short of the glory of God. There is none righteous, no, not one. But God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes on him should not perish but have eternal life. That message of the gospel is to go to everyone, regardless of their culture, regardless of their language, regardless of their color. Doesn't matter. The Lord calls us to bring that gospel. That's why I want to always be praying for Pastor Eric as he ministers in the community. He's got a lot of boys and girls coming to the Westside Soccer Club. And now their parents are coming also to the Friday evening dinners. And the gospel is being spread to a multicultural community. We are living in a multicultural area. When I was a boy growing up across the street, West Leonard, church where my dad was a minister. It was mainly all Dutch people here, some Polish. But everyone was pretty well the same kind of people. Middle class, white. It's not that way anymore. We are in a diverse community. There are many different nationalities, many different cultures represented in this community. And here we are. And the Lord has called us. Let your light shine. You are the light of the world. We are. Each one of us has to be in a way like Philip. Beginning with the Scripture, you know the Bible. It's amazing what amount of knowledge you all have. You know these stories. And it's a wonderful thing to know that story. And the Bible has to be distributed and people have to read it. And we have to help to explain it. Our lives are to be lived in such a way that they may see the love of Christ in our lives. Remember how Peter says, 1 Peter 3:15, sanctify Christ in your heart as Lord and be ready always to give an answer to anyone who asks you a reason for the hope you have with meekness and respect. So this is a great mission story. The gospel goes to Africa. What a wonderful thing. And you know that gospel has really gone throughout Africa. There's a great returning to the Lord in Africa. My friend from Nigeria who called yesterday, he is just excited that the whole Bible now is in the language of his people, that they can read it. Lori asked on the phone, are most of the people down there, are they literate? Oh yes, they can read. And now they have the Bible in their own language. They are so happy to know that. And so the gospel has gone into Africa by way of the Queen of Sheba, and now by way of the Ethiopian eunuch. And the gospel has gone throughout Africa. It's wonderful. The Lord is at work. There is a great turning to the Lord in China, in India, in other areas of the world. The gospel is going. We are so thankful that communism has been stopped. And that now the gospel can go into Russia and other areas that had formerly been under the communist rule. The gospel is the power of God to salvation. No wonder Paul said, I want to go to Rome, for I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God to salvation to everyone who believes, to the Jew, but also to the Gentile. Doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The gospel is free to go wherever there are people. They have to hear the word. And everyone said, Amen. Lord, bless this word onto our hearts today. We thank you, Lord. I love to tell the story of unseen things above, of Jesus and his glory, of Jesus and his love. I love to tell the story because I know it's true. Oh Lord, what a wonderful truth that is. Bless us this day. Bless the Sunday school hour and our brother as he brings his message of the gospel to the Albanians. Lord, lead us now in Jesus' name. Amen.